No, take News Radio along via the app.
Oh.
Just go to your app store, search News Radio 92.3, download the app.
Okay.
And listen to Pensacola's news leader with crystal clarity wherever you go.
And it's absolutely free.
That'll work.
Get it now and tap the app to get News Radio 92.3, no matter where in the world you are. Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Good morning, 610 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. And, I've got an update on the Alabama Bayway project, the I-10 bridge that is my favorite thing to hate on. Why, Candy? Because
it costs money.
Because they're going to make it a toll road. That's right. They're going to turn the, and I am cheap. That's right. Because they're going to turn an interstate, that section of I-10 from Spanish Fork to Mobile, into a toll road, and they're going to put a new bridge over the Mobile River. It's going to be a suspension bridge, you know, so it's going to have those long lines of cables basically holding it up at two pillars, and then they're going to build a brand new bayway. And if you don't know, the bayway is just that, you know, right now when you go to Mobile, you drive that very long 7.5 mile stretch where it's, you know, two sides or two spans, and it's two lanes in each direction, and there's lots of problems on that road, and it's insufficient capacity, whatever. Well, they're going to completely replace that with a new six lane, so two spans of three lanes each. And the price tag, I mean, it's only going to be like $3 or $4 billion. It's no big deal. Super expensive. So they're going to pay for it by making it a toll road. And, you know, if you're new to this whole story, you might be like, what? They're going to charge me $7 each way? Yep. that's the plan. Welcome to my world. You know, you can buy a monthly discount, your monthly pass, if you do it more often. And, you know, if you're like a local pass, you can get a little bit cheaper. But basically, for people who do not drive it all the time, it's going to be $7.70, $8 a time. Okay. The new plan or the new announcement is that they're going to start doing construction on this in October. And phase one, which is not the totality of the project, is going to be $3.2 billion. And the state's going to finance the remainder through bonds and coordination with the U.S. Department of Transportation. It's going to take 5 years to do the first phase. The first phase is going to be the bridge, and it's not going to be the new bayway. The first phase is where they're going to buy paint. And with the paint, they're going to paint new lane markings on the existing I-10 bayway to turn it from four lanes into six lanes. So the lanes are going to be more narrow. So you're going to make the bridge like less, I mean, in some ways less safe to drive. You're going to feel more constrained. It's going to be like when they narrowed, you know, like on Pace or Cervantes, when you narrow it, it feels less safe. That's what they're going to do. And this is important. The toll is going to go in now instead of when they build the new bridge.
No.
So you're going to be paying for the next bridge by paying a toll ahead of time, driving on the bridge that's been there for decades already. Now, I don't have a date for you on when the toll is going to go into place. I haven't announced that yet. But that's the new plan, is not only will you have to pay a toll, but you'll have to pay the toll to drive the same old bridge with the constrained lanes and the new striping until they can get enough money to build the new bridge. Yay! So, just happy days. The note at the very end of the story: the causeway, that's the highway, 990. I always get confused which one, 90 or 98, because they kind of criss and cross. The causeway, which will still be free, the Wallace Tunnel, the Bankhead Tunnel, and the Africatown Bridge will remain toll-free routes indefinitely. But that's all. Everything else you're gonna pay for. So happy days. 614 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you need to get any work done on the complicated systems inside your home, air conditioning, heating, electrical, plumbing, generator installed, maintained, whatever the case may be, Peden can take care of you for that. Ever since 1969, Robert Peden started this company in Panama City, started by doing air conditioning, which, you know, Panama City in the summer, let's make some money giving people cold air, right? That obviously makes sense. Well, over time, He expanded it. Of course, heating's pretty natural, and plumbing and electrical and all that stuff. And geographically, moved to Pensacola. They've been in Ellison Field for a long time, but also east to Tallahassee, and then farther west even to Baldwin County and Mobile. I guess they didn't have to pay the toll because it didn't exist yet. Anyway, so now they are in two states and two time zones and all across the Gulf Coast. You can get good people putting in good products with high-quality workmanship and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, right now, if you buy a new air conditioning system from Peden, you get 2 years of smart care for free. That means that you get scheduled maintenance, you get priority service, you go to the head of the line, 15% off repairs, all included. Find out more. Call or book online at Peden, P-E-A-D-E-N.com. Candy has traffic on the fives.
And this is brought to you by the great folks from ECUA. They make service easier with a new My ECUA mobile app available to download now. Pay your bill, report service issues, alerts, and recycling tips. And I'm not showing anything. We're watching usual areas of construction. And I'd mentioned this earlier as I was getting on 110, or trying to anyway, from Fairfield. It was lined up with cones. It looks like it is still that way. So you cannot make your way onto 110 from Fairfield at either little section to do that. Other than that, I mean, but there's plenty of workarounds. You just go up Davis, get up that way. And that's the only thing I'm seeing right now, just construction. 437-1620. Certainly, if you see something, let us know. It's Candy with Traffic on the Fives.
Splash Magazine covers the coast like the Gulf of Mexico. Each month, Splash Magazine offers a calendar of events, plus tips on where to shop, dine, and play. Learn about the month's special events, live entertainment, and interesting local people. Learn how to catch fish with Captain Dave Yelverton. See what is worth watching on your streaming services. Tom Nolan will tell you the latest. Get the most out of the Emerald Coast by reading Splash Magazine each month. For more information, call Gulf Breeze News at 850-932-8986 or visit GulfBreezeNews.com online.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer at a beverage manufacturing plant, he starts his day knowing every line is ready to run. Because Grainger delivers the industrial-grade products he needs to keep mixers, conveyors, and packaging equipment moving. With Grainger's vast selection of bearings, belts, and motors, he keeps operations running smoothly, so nothing grinds to a halt. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Santa Rosa, I'm Jill Broxton Teston, and I'm running for school board. As a parent of four children in our public schools, I have a personal stake in ensuring every student receives a quality education. Our district faces real financial challenges, and we need creative, responsible solutions that put students first while supporting the educators who help them succeed every day. Together, we can build strong schools, support our teachers, and prepare our kids for the future. I'm Jill Broxton Teston, and I'd be honored to earn your vote.
Paid for by the campaign to elect Jill Broxton Teston for Santa Rosa County School Board.
So, what did I miss today?
Good question.
I'm Andrew McKay.
Chris Bryan.
Austin Price.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
And there you have it.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today for the Transgressors Memorial Service, remembering those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must forever be cast into the abyss of dead names. Let's join Brother Andrew remembering those who we have lost.
Our first remembrance is for Robert Bob Chavez, the Vietnam veteran who became internet famous this week after engaging in a horrific attack on an innocent young man during the national anthem at a Chicago Cubs game. In case you've not seen the infuriating video, the young man, whose name has not been released, so we'll just call him Glenn, is doing what every young wokeite learns in his progressive duties to sing the national anthem, that racist and jingoistic anthem. He is sitting down, obviously in protest, although possibly in indifference, perhaps just scrolling in oblivion. Regardless, behind him stands Bob, a Vietnam veteran, who leans over and asks him repeatedly to stand up. When Glenn refuses, Bob suddenly and violently smacks Glenn in the head and reiterates the demand that he stand for the anthem. It's a savage attack. It could easily have given Glenn a concussion, or knocked him out, or even broken his neck, or killed him with its brutality, or just made him wish he'd had a V8. Despite this barbarity, Glenn somehow manages to muster enough strength to stand up and not bleed out in front of everybody, and that's when it gets weird. According to Chavez, after the confrontation, the two began talking, apologized to each other, and became friends. Glenn even bought Bob a beer, probably because he was concussed. When security came to escort Bob out of the stadium for this highly violent and illegal battery, Glenn told him it was no big deal and Bob remained at the game. Bob even went on TV later to explain that he was sorry for the incident and his emotional reaction. Well, this is incredibly unacceptable. What is this world coming to when a minor smack on the head by an older man isn't treated like the life-threatening assault on liberty that it really was? We can't have a civilized society when people are walking around like playground vigilantes, coercing compliance with social norms by inflicting their own judgment on younger people and then daring to become friends with them afterward. Of course, we are horrified that Glenn was not allowed to simply sit down during the anthem, an obviously good thing, but we are even more incensed that this rogue act of corporal discipline is actually being celebrated by some people. Have you learned nothing from us? Aren't we always saying that violence never solves anything? Especially the violence of teaching young men to behave properly when they aren't living up to the expectations of their elders. And we most certainly don't want other anthem sitters to fear for their own safety at sporting events, because that might lead them to stand up just out of fear of some other village elder disciplining them the same way. And then where would we be? Whole stadia of Americans actually honoring the flag and the men and women who fought and died for their safety and prosperity. Glenn should have pressed charges. Bob should have been jailed and convicted. Maybe executed. Non-violently, of course. And a whole country of rough justice advocates should have learned that you can never touch another person in an unwanted way, you must always call the authorities to solve your problems, and men can most definitely never become good friends with other men after having engaged in a dispute or a confrontation, like the millions of men who fought first and befriended later over the course of human history. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Second, Sophie Cunningham, the WNBA player who went viral recently for her prolonged and exaggerated finger point at DeWanna Bonner during an incident when Cunningham's teammate Caitlin Clark unfairly received a technical foul, but Bonner did not. Despite the wild popularity of this silently condemnatory image, the WNBA has now officially prohibited anyone from licensing merchandise featuring the point. Apparently, the WNBA dislikes making money, which might explain the pay gap with the NBA. But that's not what brings Sophie before us today for cancellation. No, this is much, much more serious. In a lengthy interview with ESPN, Sophie said that men should not be allowed to compete in women's sports, even if they identify as women, or as we prefer to say, are actually women because they think they are. This transphobic macroaggression was bad enough, but then, when asked about the comments in a press interview, she had the temerity, the nerve, the gall to reaffirm her opposition to people identified male at birth competing against women.
I think I said what I said. I think it's kind of common sense. And I think I'll always believe in that. I think it's really important to protect children. And that's little girls who are also involved in that category. And so I stand on what I said. And I always believe that.
I said what I said. Obviously, this is unacceptable. Certainly, anyone who believes in biological gender and the necessity of separating cis women from trans women in sports is engaging in blasphemy against the holy acronym string. And even though people sometimes mistakenly believe we celebrate people for standing up for what they believe, that's not actually true. We celebrate people for standing up for what they believe when it agrees with what we believe. That last part is very important. And especially when someone is challenging core orthodoxy of the rainbow gospel, it cannot be allowed. But it's in fact much worse than this. Sophie Cunningham is a woman of privilege, being both white and straight. As such, it is her obligation to acknowledge her privilege, demonstrate shame and repentance for it, and then use her social power for those who do not have it, namely black and LGBTQIA+ players in her league. Much like the teammate Caitlin Clark, who is also straight and white, the real sin here is that they either stay silent on race, gender, and sexuality, which would be bad enough, or, as with Sophie's comments, blaspheme the rainbow. With roughly a third of WNBA players being lesbians and two-thirds being black, this league is filled with members of racial and sexual minorities, meaning it has an obligation to affirm, protect, and represent them at every turn. And if Sophie Cunningham wants to redeem herself, she must apologize and reaffirm the third antinomy of modern feminism. Women must be protected from having to play sports against men who identify as men because biology matters. But also women must play sports against men who identify as women because biology does not matter. Also remember, Corollary 6 to the third antinomy. Even though men are larger, faster, and stronger than women, men are also never better at anything than women because men and women are equal. Accepting, memorizing, and cherishing these basic contradictions is at the heart of our orthodoxy. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Finally, this week's hand-carved mango wood hand drum of inclusion with organic hemp yarn macrame accents and shoulder sling goes to the collective body of therapists and family counselors in the United States for their wonderful work at destabilizing the traditional nuclear family. As the Wall Street Journal reports, a study of 7,000 parents who are estranged from their children revealed that one-third of them believe their child's therapist recommended cutting off ties with the parents. Now, of course, the highly misguided, conservative-leaning Wall Street Journal, tool of the patriarchy and perpetuator of male supremacy culture that it is, criticized this development, lamenting that more than 25% of young adults are estranged from their parents, a statistic which surely would not be so high were it not for the outstanding work of the highly trained wokists in the professional meddler industry, typically referred to as counseling. But of course, we celebrate this accomplishment because our entire model is based on replacing the traditional structures that bind people together in stable relationships over time, keeping the next generation tethered to the experience and wisdom of the past. Our cause thrives when young people rebel against their parents and eagerly dive into whatever absurd cause our order offers them as a way to acquire meaning and distance themselves from their families, undermining that traditional bond and convincing them that they know better. Where do you think climate activism, the organic and whole food movements, and data center opposition come from? Children who rebel against their parents' beliefs can be persuaded to believe in almost anything. You see, one of the most powerful forces for traditional values perpetuating themselves over time is the family. It's also vital for reinforcing religious faith. Even the Bible tells Jews and Christians to honor their parents as a way of being blessed by God, which they dare to refer to as their father. Stupid patriarchy. Involuntary but mandatory family relationships teach people to forgive, to accept, to endure, and even to serve people they don't like, sublimating their personal desires to the demands of the relationship and people outside themselves. This obviously teaches them to be better people. But if we replace the stability of unconditional love and involuntary relationships found uniquely in the nuclear family with a never-ending parade of temporary and shifting relationships, both sexual and non-sexual, people become selfish, weak, mushy-minded brats who can then be easily molded into government-worshipping socialists, deriving their identity from the group and bringing them safely into the camaraderie of being comrades with each other under the watchful and nurturing eye of us, their dear leaders. So well done, American therapists and counselors, for encouraging children to break up with their parents just because they're parents. Great job telling them what they want to hear, that they're smart, their parents are fools. So keep up the excellent work of catering to children's self-proclaimed trauma, blaming their parents for everything that's wrong in their lives, and giving them an easy way out so that all relationships eventually become weak, temporary, and self-serving. You really have a talent for making the worst sort of people with your advice. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
And now, brethren, sistren, and otheren, having been cleansed of these hurtful words, give each other the holy virtue signal and go forth and transgress no more.
And just a small reminder that all the stories are real stories. Even though Brother Andrew's take on them is not always the story, those are real stories. Like the Sophie Cunningham thing. The single most well-known image from the entire history of the WNBA, and the Players Association has banned licensing it because they consider it derogatory. Like, there are little girls all over the country who would love nothing more than to wear a Sophie Cunningham Point t-shirt or sweatshirt or have it emblazoned on their shoes, but oh no, we can't make money that way. I don't know if they're just not capitalist. I'm probably not. Anyway, Candy has traffic on the
fives.
No, you're
right. They're complete idiots that don't want to make money. I could not agree more.
Go ahead.
Somebody's finally interested in WNBA.
You're right. You finally got people to pay attention to the WNBA, man. And now you don't want to capitalize on it.
White Sands Electric, providing comprehensive electrical and generator services along the Gulf Coast since 1997. Free estimates available. It's whitesandselectric.com. And watching watch for your areas of construction. There's a lot of traffic lights out around Garden and Barrancas. We're seeing, and it looks like the front gate of Pensacola NAS is still backed up to the top of the bridge. 437-1620. If you see that accident or slowdown, you can let us know. It's Candy with traffic on the fives.
Yeah, as somebody says, so the WNBA doesn't really get the point. Like, you complain about not having enough revenue and then turn down money.
They don't want those women to have money.
It's amazing. Let's see. I was going to say David. What is your name? Steve. Steve Taylor's in the newsroom with our headlines. Steve.
Well, Senate Republicans are blocking an effort to force a vote on ending U.S. involvement in the war with Iran. The motion failed 47-49, with Republican Senator Susan Collins joining the Democrats in support and Democratic Senator John Fetterman voting against it.
Susan Collins and John Fetterman swip-swapped?
Yep, yes, they did.
Okay, all right.
They basically canceled each other out. Secretary of State Marco Rubio says Iran is going to pay a very heavy price for the military actions against the U.S. U.S. The warning comes in response to a statement made by Iran's foreign minister that Tehran's policy for the war with the U.S. is an eye for an eye. Rubio says President Trump's policy is a head for an eye. And a Wilt Chamberlain Lakers jacket a teenager found in a Portland, Oregon Goodwill store earlier this year netted the owner much more than the $3 he paid for it. He saw the jacket in a bin of clothes, thought it might be worth something maybe, but it ended up being a jacket that was worn by Wilt Chamberlain in the 1972-73 season, and Sotheby's, that famous auction house, agreed and put it up for auction, and the guy made $89,000 from that $3. Pretty good return on his investment.
You know, these stories about how people find this incredibly valuable thing at the thrift store, they're like the stories of the person, the one, like, metal-detecting old man who found some artifact from the 1700s or some coin from the Roman era when he was out on the beach, when what most people find is beer bottles and beer caps. You know, it's the same thing in the thrift stores. Just be happy you get the deals. Steve, thank you so much for the update. 6:30 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. What was the thing? The other thing I was going to tell you? No, I don't have. But coming up next, interesting bit of drama between DC Reeves and Charles Barrel. Tell you about it coming up next.
Fox News. I'm Chris Foster. New tariffs are in effect, replacing others expiring today.
Imports from 60 countries will face anywhere from 10 to 12.5% tariffs in response to what the Trump administration says are human rights abuse and distortive trade practices. The administration has relied on different authorities to maintain a tariff regime after the U.S. Supreme Court struck down so-called reciprocal tariffs in February.
Fox's Jared Halpern. President Trump says he's close to deciding whether to order a massive attack on Iran.
That, according to Axios, the outlet reports President Trump is considering a major escalation in the conflict with Iran. That warning comes amid a 13th consecutive day of attacks now completed on critical infrastructure and other assets.
Fox's Kevin Cork. All 11 people on board are rescued after a seaplane crash lands and burns in Washington state. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning and happy Friday at 6:31 right now, 77 degrees and sunny. I'm Steve Taylor in for David Wayne on News Radio 92.3. A proposed city curfew for minors will be a big discussion for the Pensacola City Council in the near future. And police say one of the biggest things that needs to be in the law is parental accountability.
Parents need to be parents, and you hear this all the time, and I'll tell you somebody else besides law enforcement you can ask are teachers. Teachers are expected to babysit the kids and raise the kids sometimes, and that's just not going to work. So anything that we can do or any laws or ordinances that we can do to help us to do that is what we're going to do use. But we certainly would like parents to step in a little bit more and know where their 17-year-old teenagers and under are around midnight.
Pensacola Police Department's Mike Wood says a citywide curfew would give officers more tools to deal with kids that already are causing major issues in the city. Mayor Reeves proposed a curfew of 11 p.m. on weeknights and midnight on the weekends for those 17 and under, with language being drafted on potential consequences for the parents. Water and noise are the big worries for people who are fighting data centers in Escambia County. Commissioners banned the facilities under current zoning last night, but the fight over long-term rules is not over. Brady Johnson, an anti-AI data center advocate, told Channel 3 before the vote.
My concern with nature is it could end up contaminating the water, raising the temperature, using too much water. Noise pollution as well, yes, ma'am.
Johnson and other opponents want permanent changes written into the county's land development code. One Escambia commissioner says he understands those concerns.
Water, obviously, with data centers is an issue. Eats up a lot of land, so utilizing dirt, mm-hmm. utilizing water, utilizing power.
Yeah.
I mean, even if you're paying for the power, you're still pulling out of the grid, and you're ending up with a product that has a couple of engineers and a half dozen security guards. I mean, you know, we end up with no job creation.
Stephen Barry's comments came before the commissioners voted unanimously to block the facilities under the current zoning. A public hearing on a formal ordinance is following August 6th. The Gulf Shores International Airport broke ground on a $15 million terminal expansion. Chris Bryant says our neighborhood airport just to the west is about to get bigger.
That's right. Gulf Shores International Airport has broken ground on a $15 million terminal expansion. Airport officials confirm the construction is moving fast to keep up with the soaring passenger growth. The project includes expanded food and retail operations, Now, the airport recently secured a $2 million FAA grant, and the terminal is expected to be finished by May 2027. That's just ahead of next summer's flight schedules. Chris Bryant, News Radio 92.3.
Now let's check the forecast from Channel 3.
Another hot and humid day to round out the work week is on tap this morning, starting out in the upper 70s and low 80s under mostly clear skies. And as we go into the afternoon, highs will be climbing into the low 90s, but feeling more like the triple digits when you factor in the humidity. That continues into the weekend with just a chance for an isolated shower or storm to pop up in the afternoon. I'm meteorologist Marianne Caldwell with your WAR First Warning Weather.
Thanks, Marianne. Right now, let's check in with Candy for traffic on the fives. Candy?
As soon as we looking around, we're not showing any slowdowns or delays. It looks like it is backed up halfway across the bridge if you're making your way on to Pensacola NAS this morning. And watch for your usual areas of construction. We're also seeing some lights out near Barrancas and Garden Street this morning, too. 437-1620, if you see that accident or slowdown, certainly let us know. This brought to you by Knox Pest Control. Their family serving your family since 1929. More info on a free pest or termite quote, visit knoxpest.com. It's KNOX. Knox knocks them out. I'm Candy with traffic on the fives.
Thanks, Candy. Yep. Right now, sunny and 76 in Pensacola, 77 in Gulf Breeze, and 75 degrees in Milton at 6:35. Next news is coming up at 7. Breaking news anytime. I'm Steve Taylor for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. The Trump administration said it is imposing new tariffs of 10 and 12.5% on goods from 60 trading partners over allegations of lax enforcement of forced labor bans. The new levies went into effect at 12:01 a.m. this morning, the same time Trump's temporary 10% global tariff expired. Southwest Airlines reportedly sent a barge with 12.6 million gallons of jet fuel through the Panama Canal to Los Angeles this spring in case of fuel shortages. CNBC reports that this year's jump in fuel costs has eaten into airlines' earnings. Carriers have raised fares, and executives this month said they expect higher prices to stick this year. A federal judge has ruled that Paramount Skydance must pause its $110 billion acquisition of Warner Brothers Discovery through August 17th. A California-led coalition of states have sued to block the deal, saying it would harm competition in film and television, hurting theaters and cable companies. Futures have risen this morning as traders look to recover from the oil-driven sell-off. That's Your Money Now.
It's game day. Are your moderate to severe Crohn's disease or ulcerative colitis symptoms keeping you from the action? Skyrizi, risankizumab Riza, could help you get back to the game. Skyrizi is proven to help people feel significant symptom relief, achieve remission, and visibly improve damage of the intestinal lining. Skyrizi is a prescription injection medicine for adults. Don't use if allergic to Skyrizi. Serious allergic reactions, increased infections, or lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, get checked for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor about any flu-like symptoms or vaccines. Liver problems leading to hospitalization may occur when treated for Crohn's or ulcerative colitis. Ask your doctor about Skyrizi, the number one prescribed biologic in Crohn's and ulcerative colitis combined. Learn more at Skyrizi.com or 1-866-SKYRIZI.
Summer season is here and Florida's summers can really be hot. But despite the warm temperatures, your garden can still produce some beautiful flowers and delicious vegetables. Get all of your garden tips from me, Mike Wiggins, on The Garden Line, heard on the Pensacola Expert Panel every Tuesday from 9 till 10, and Encore Hour Saturday from 9 till 10 on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
The Garden Line is presented by Blue Sky Landscaping and Pensacola Hardware.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. The Women's Club of Pensacola's Christmas in July Marketplace is Saturday from 10 till 4 at the club downtown at 1551 East Heinberg Street. Shop local for bath and body care, jewelry, quilts, lamps, sweets, and more, benefiting the Women's Club. Don't miss the summertime sights and finds at the Palafox Market. Saturdays from 9 till 2, rain or shine. Submit your events at newsradio923.com.
Hi, this is Mike Kohler, your District 2 Commissioner seeking re-election. As a retired Navy captain with 33 years of naval service, I'll continue fighting to preserve our communities, manage taxpayer dollars responsibly, and oppose wasteful spending. As your commissioner, you can continue to count on me to be a strong advocate for public safety. I respectfully request your vote. Please vote Mike Kohler on August 18th.
Paid for and approved political ad by Mike Kohler for County Commissioner, Republican District 2.
You don't need
need someone yelling at you.
You just want someone to say what you're already thinking.
That's MVR. Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins. They take the biggest stories of the day, cut through the nonsense, and say the quiet part out loud.
The American people have had enough.
Well, except for white women 55 plus.
There are a lot of white women that lean left.
Usually with a little sarcasm.
Thankfully, we know all the sane ones.
MVR. Weekdays 11 till 2 on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, AM 1620. Informative, local, dependable.
Like the sands through Carpenter's Creek, so are the days of our Pensacola. And now, another episode of City Council Melodrama Theater.
Well, actually, on the way in this morning, I wasn't driving, but I was at a red light. I texted Pastor Marshall this morning and apologized. I honestly was kind of embarrassed once I went back, not on behalf of the administration, but on just generally the perception of the city.
So what is Mayor D.C. Reeves apologizing for? He's apologizing for Charles Baer, City Councilman Charles Baer's behavior at last week's city council meeting, where Charles, in a very Charles Baer-ish way, grilled the representative of the Baby Rattlers, or the Rattlers, East Pensacola Rattlers, the Sports and Youth Development League, because they were coming to get their MOU approved with the city. And he did what Charles did, which is he kind of asked annoying and obnoxious and questions and kind of implied that, you know, they and many other organizations aren't doing their jobs and aren't, you know, are charging too much money and might be, you know, mishandling money. All of this kind of stuff came up. So in order to understand the context here, we're going to go back prior to DC's comments on Wednesday and go back to the actual meeting and play a little bit of this for you so that you can kind of decide for yourself. This is Charles Baer talking about the Rattlers and their kind of their application to have the MOU approved, the Memorandum of Understanding, and other organizations and, you know, what he wants.
So I've been kind of an ongoing critic of our MOU process, I will say that. And Councilwoman Brayer and I, Vice President Brayer and I, seem to have some interest in this. You know, in April, we had a different organization come to us, Bill Bond, and during that meeting, Councilwoman Brayer said that she hoped the 990s and financial statements were sent to us before the MOU was signed. I haven't been able to find the MOU. I sent a request to the administrator today to see if an MOU has been signed with them. I don't know if it has. But my problem is that I told the administration I would not approve an MOU without having those documents. And I realize we have a flaw in our process. The flaw in our process is that we are asked to approve an MOU without having the proper documentation to know that this organization is even financially viable. I went and looked for the MOU or for the 990s for this particular organization, and there aren't any available publicly, most likely because of the financial situation of the organization. They probably file 990N, which is for organizations with under 50,000. If they don't, then they've never filed 990. That's a bigger issue, bigger red flag.
So Charles is raising concerns about, in general, organizations that work with the city. He's wanting to have better checking over them, better, you know, what he thinks of as stewardship, what, you know, all of these organizations have varying levels of record keeping and compliance with the new standards that he and Councilwoman Brayer are wanting to implement. And he's basically saying, I'm not going to approve anything that doesn't live up to my standards 100%, which, on the one hand, you can kind of see why he would say something like that. On the other hand, if they say no, it might wind up pausing, preventing, inhibiting the Rattlers and everything they do from operating. And so you might take a slightly softer tone, just in the sense of making sure that things work right as you work through a big change in this process. But also, you know, side comments, kind of people hear that and it rubs people wrong when you're saying things about, well, they might not even be doing these things and things might be even worse than we think they are. And so LaWanna Hamilton, she's with the Rattlers, and she explains.
How are you doing? Good evening. My name is LaWanna Hamilton. I'm the PART program secretary for our East Pensacola Student Athlete Program since 2024.
Okay.
We do have children in the city and the county.
Okay.
By the way, that had been one of the other kind of flashpoints is charging the kids $10 and whether you charge only the ones who are in the county and not the ones in the city. And Charles Baer is a big stickler on, you know, making sure that the county people pay and city people don't pay because they don't pay city taxes and that. That had also been an issue. And was it a tax being applied? And were they passing it through to poor kids and all this? That had all kind of come up previously.
Participate in our program. We do have data where we collect zip codes and addresses to make sure that our program is in the is servicing the neighborhood and the children that it is in. And also, we have been more than transparent on our partnership in with the city with any documents that were requested that are available. We are we do file under 50,000. That is probably why it's not available. Right. But we have been to the table plenty of many about our organization and any documents that are being requested.
So the documents that he wants and even he recognizes may not exist publicly because they're under 50,000, you know, whatever that limit is for which kind of document they have to file, which she says.
This is not about you. I'm very happy with what you do for athletes. You know, that's not about you. It's about our process and what I think we need to see before we approve this document.
But it is requirements that are going to apply to them and inhibit them from moving forward if they don't satisfy the process that he's wanting to implement.
I don't believe the $10 fee is something that we should be charging to city residents. City residents pay taxes. They may pay a lot less taxes if the constitutional amendment passes, but they still pay taxes. And so I feel like there needs to be a differential between the city and the county. And I think if anybody's going to pay a fee, it'd be county residents because they don't pay taxes in the city. We pay county taxes, but they don't pay city taxes. They live in the county. So I'm not going to support this tonight for several reasons. One, I don't have enough information about this organization, just like I haven't had enough information about the other organizations. Bill Bond in particular was one of them. And the MOU has a flawed fee structure in my mind, and I've talked, and the mayor knows I feel this way. The $10, it's a drop in the bucket. It's 2% roughly of what it costs to run these fields. And so I won't be supporting it. I will be bringing forward another item at some point in the future to discuss the way items are submitted with MOU and the financial documents.
Well, one could also say that if the $10 is a drop in the bucket, then the $10 is a drop in the bucket either way. Why fight over it? Why spend all this time and, you know, staff salary to hire you talk about all this stuff for such an extended period of time? We'll come back to this in a second because, again, the mayor's comments at the press conference need a little bit of background, and I'm giving you as much of that as I can in the, you know, short radio time that I've got for you. Candy has traffic on the fives.
Hey, it's brought to you by Discover. Discover wants everybody to feel special, and that's why they double all the cash back you've earned on your credit card at the end of your first year with cashback match. You can see terms at discover.com/credit card. And we're getting word that lots of traffic lights are out. Garden Street and Barrancas, and possible power outage in that area. So watching that with great interest, 437-1620. If you see that accident or slowdown, you can let us know. It's Candy with traffic on the fives.
Yeah, there is about 1,500 people, according to the FPL Power Map, have power out in that area. So happy days. They say somebody is on site, and I had just looked it up. They expect it to be reestablished by 9 a.m. is when they say the power.
Oh,
so just in time for you to not be able to get ready for
job.
Work.
Yeah.
437-1620 if you have questions or comments. What we're talking about, why was D.C. Reeves embarrassed by Charles Baer's comments to the Rattlers during the city council meeting last week? And it was because Charles was abrasive, which is often Charles' way. You know, he's abrasive to staff. He's abrasive. He has a kind of a strident way of saying whatever he thinks is right. And he's not really the reconciler. You know, he's not the grace extender. That's why he's always the 6-1. You know, he's always the one on a lot of these votes. Anyway, Jen Brayer explained that, you know, we've had this track record of organizations that have misbehaved, and that's kind of pushed us into this position of feeling like we need to have more involvement in all of this. And the other five council members are sitting here listening to this thinking, so you guys are talking about not approving the Rattlers to keep doing what they're doing? Are you crazy?
I think that the damage done to the community is if we're not able to move forward with one of these programs is much bigger than any potential issue that we're going to have financially there. So hopefully we can come up with some sort of compromise here to get something done so they can go play ball and make sure these kids are ready for school come August and have an adult in their life that's encouraging and calling out their strengths and find a place where the council's comfortable.
Yeah, Jared Moore, this is a really good program. Don't screw it up. What are you doing? You know, we can be nicer than you're being.
Thank you, Councilwoman Broughton.
Thank you. I definitely would not want to support anything that would discourage Baby Rattlers from I mean, what do y'all call now? Okay, East Pensacola Rattlers from playing their season.
Absolutely. And Delarian Wiggins, you know, I totally support them. Would hate to see them get a no vote. You know, it's fine to improve the process, but golly.
Sports, but also mentorship mentorship programs at their location. So I'm in full support of it tonight. I just hope that we're able to, meet each other halfway and to make sure that we have what we need as far as city to continue to move forward. But I definitely don't want to have them to go back out with a no vote. And now we have 260 kids that have nothing to do in this community.
Right. And so then after all of this, which they approved it 6-1 over Charles's objections, then they went, I guess, to the Parks and Rec Board, I think. I did not attend that meeting, but I think Rick Adson had written about this, and I'd heard from some other people that basically they had been incensed, you know, and felt like they were being attacked unfairly for something that they didn't even do wrong. And there was a component of it being that it's a black organization, you know, is that involved? So that's where, you know, Rick had basically asked D.C. about this in the press conference, and D.C. was like, I just cannot believe that Charles was acting this way. It's so unprofessional and so, you know, wrong to basically attack and criticize them for things that other organizations had done.
When this administration came into office, we didn't have papered agreements about anything about people who used our facilities. And the idea that I know Councilwoman Brayer is supportive of, me and her worked on that pretty collaboratively in the early days of just saying, hey, let's come up with something uniform. I mean, let's just get something on paper. You're using a city facility. There were concerns with her and perhaps other council members about controlling, you know, what they charge. That was a lot of the genesis of this was, well, the soccer league, what if they charge too much and all of that.
Right, and there seems to be a push by Jen Brayer and Charles Baer to kind of insource everything, to have the city kind of run everything. But it's a lot cheaper to have these organizations run it, and they do a better job than even the city could do. And they're doing amazing things. You know, Southern Youth Sports, Bill Bond, Rattlers, socialization, activity, health, all of that kind of stuff.
At some point, it took a turn where now we're asking for 990s, all of that. I can certainly tell you, other than if we felt like there was a problem or someone was saying, maybe that started with, hey, you're going to pay X dollars per kid, which is just a fraction of what it takes to upkeep the field. But maybe it was the participation that then started down this road of, well, then we want to be able to see 990s. So if you say you can't pay or you can't afford it, there's some proof that you can't afford it. It's now taken on, specifically with Councilman Baer, the life of its own, that we're going to take leagues that literally owe the city like $1,800, $2,000 total. How much staff labor time did we spend in the city council meeting? Just add up the council members, city administrator, the clerk. We spent more money, taxpayer money, arguing and trying to attack a league that was being run than they actually owe.
And remember, he's starting from the point that he is trying to bring organizations in and do some reforms and create more of a standardized process. And, you know, because that new process is not up to Councilman Baer's standards, Councilman Baer is the one that's, you know, kind of pitching a fit over all of this. And D.C. is like, where does it end? What are we trying to do here? Are we going to, you know, ask for 990s from people who throw weddings? Like, where do we stop when we are collaborating with people on the things that they do, when they rent our facilities or use our fields? When do we stop meddling in all of their affairs?
And I would ask the question, if I was had been there, what I would have asked Councilman Baer is, what does success look like? Should the league not have any money? Because Councilwoman Brayer criticized SYSA for asking how much money they had. So it's weird. Do they have too much money, or should they be not have any money? What does the success of a 990 look like as it pertains to the financial health of an organization?
And so, the whole idea he's getting at is, look, I was intending to create a process so these organizations would be somewhat standardized, and somehow that's been turned around into attacking them.
It was born in spirit of saying, what can you afford or what can you not afford? It's now been somehow weaponized into us grilling leagues that are only doing the city a service. And so that's why I'm embarrassed about it. And so I apologize, not because we were the ones that said it, but that's certainly, from an administrative standpoint, not our position. We should be certainly thanking these leagues for doing what they do. And we should not be grilling them and criticizing them over $2,000 and $1,500 items when they're out. Could you imagine what's the dollar value that you put on education, youth enrichment, safety? I mean, what's the dollar value that these leagues provide? And the city government and the taxpayer doesn't have to do anything other than cut the grass. That's all we've got to do right now. And we're sitting here picking on these leagues is embarrassing.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of the right take. I just think that sometimes Charles is so obsessed with getting things just right. And it's not that his concerns don't have any merit. It's just there's sort of this inability to balance some ideological purity thing that he's got in his head about how things ought to be done with sort of, you know, just real life and people and how they react to allegations and implications and the sort of offhanded comments that you make about them. And, you know, people are people and they will take things a certain way. And you just got to be kinder, honestly, and more diplomatic and read the room like the other city council members do.
I certainly hope that we can look at this as a city from the posture of partnership, not from this newfound posture of grilling and somebody's up to no good. I think there's a lot of people that are wanting to do a lot of good in these leagues and do a lot of good in these leagues, and we need to treat it that way.
And I think that's how the folks felt in the Parks and Rec Board, where they do a lot of investigation in these organizations already. I think that's how D.C. felt. I think that's how a lot of people, kind of the Rattlers themselves and other organizations, felt. It's like, we're out here busting our butts all day long trying to help these kids, and you're going to treat us like this in public? You know, maybe just you misspelled thank you. 6:55 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Candy has traffic on the fives.
That is how it's pronounced. So there's a power outage affecting, it's downtown, it's affecting the traffic lights at Garden and Barrancas, and it looks like Garden and A Street as well. So a bit of a slowdown, but there are plenty of side streets. 437-1620, if you see that accident or slowdown, Candy with traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, yeah. Candy. If you are thinking you need a roof or a roof repair, maybe a whole roof replacement, whatever the case may be, don't ask me my opinion. I don't know things, but call Quality Roofing Solutions. They have been doing this for 20 years. Brian Ward started this company 10,000 roofs ago. 10,000 roofs, okay, in 20 years. That's crazy. And a 4.9 rating on Google, which means people love them. When they first approached me about doing ads for them, I'm like, I don't really know who you are, but I asked my wife, you ever heard anything about them? And she's like, she's on Nextdoor a lot, you know? And she's like, well, here's what I do know. On Nextdoor, people are always asking for recommendations for this or that service. And every time somebody asks for roofing, these are always on the list. Other people come and go, but they are always on the list. And I have a friend who heard me talking about them, had them come to, you know, offer her the service. And she says they weren't necessarily the cheapest. They were close. They weren't the cheapest. But, you know, I thought they had good reviews and I gave them a shot. They did great work. They did exactly what they're supposed to do. They talked to me like a person. I'm super satisfied. And like three or four other people on her street got it done because that's how they work. They are very good at what they do. They warranty their roofs for lifetime for the workmanship. And just, you know, like I said, they treat you like a person. QualityRoofingSolutions.com, 777-0961.
Climb into the cockpit, grab the stick, and fly the number 4 slot position over Pensacola. All in the full-scale replica of the FA-18 Super Hornet cockpit, giving you 3 axis of motion and high-definition visuals that will make you feel like you're really flying with the Blue Angels. Hi, I'm retired Rear Admiral Kyle Kozad, President and CEO of the National Naval Aviation Museum Foundation. You're cleared for takeoff in the only ride of its kind in the world. At the National Naval Aviation Museum, visit NavalAviationMuseum.org and plan your visit today.
Each Sunday at 7:30 a.m., the Bible Baptist Bookstore of Pensacola, Florida, brings you Theological Seminar with teacher Peter S. Ruckman, founder and president of the Pensacola Bible Institute. He will teach you what the Bible says about the subject, not merely what it is presumed to teach.
Tune in this Sunday at 7:30 a.m. for Theological Seminar with Dr. Peter S. Ruckman, brought to you by Bible Baptist Bookstore on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Bands on the Beach, presented by the Santa Rosa Island Authority, every Tuesday night at 7 at the Gulfside Pavilion on Pensacola Beach. Bring a blanket or a lawn chair and relax and enjoy the sunset with your favorite bands. This week, it's Vinyl Revival, a 6-piece band covering those classic hits from the 70s through the 90s, from Pat Benatar, Blondie, The Cars, The Cure, to Journey, AC/DC, and the Doobie Brothers. You can come out and enjoy at Bands on the Beach. No pets and no glass.
This isn't shouting.
It's conversation.
Hugh Hewitt, weekdays at 2 on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
This will not look good on a resume!
Look at you, Floss. 90s music. I love it. All right. 6:58, News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Let's see. We got Steve in the newsroom for our headlines. Steve?
Looks like some U.S. tariffs are now in effect on imports from dozens of countries. The 10 to 12.5% tariffs of President Trump took effect at midnight. That replaced the previous tariffs. The White House says the new tariffs are tied to the imports of goods made with forced labor.
Yeah, like in the U.K., all the sweatshops and kids were working in the U.K. This is... Okay,
yeah,
I'm
really?
Sorry.
Okay.
This whole business of the tariffs drives me crazy. Go ahead, Steve.
Well, looks like also New Jersey Republicans are pushing to end automatic voter registration at the state's Motor Vehicle Commission. Officials revealed thousands of non-U.S. citizens were mistakenly registered there, about 400 cast ballots of those people. GOP lawmakers have introduced some legislation to eliminate the automatic registration, and that's what's happening.
Yeah, it's okay. Nobody really voted out of that group. Yeah, that's good, but it's not as good as it would have been to just not register illegal immigrants in the first place, which is, you know, what conservatives are saying. Thanks for the update, Steve.
Stream us at newsradio923.com. News Radio 92.3. WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.